Good morning. Shall we turn our hymnals to number 5 for our very opening hymn? Hymn number 5. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this world rejoices. Number 5. Shall we stand? A couple of verses today in Ephesians chapter 6, and we've chosen this passage because the very first word says, children, children. And as this is our Children's Day, this is God's word to the boys and girls. Children, here is God's word to you. So here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, this is the first commandment with promise. All the other commandments preceding this have a warning. Don't, or else. But in this one, it is a promise. If you do, God will bless you, and he will be pleased with your life and your witness for him. And it says, that thy days may be long, that you may live long on the earth. This is a promise that God gives to those who honor their parents in various ways. And so let's unite in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon our program and upon the boys and girls that are here and all who join with us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus, and we thank thee that thou art a good and a gracious God, a God who delights to give us such promises. And we take great delight in this promise, that when we obey our parents in the Lord, that thou wilt reward us, and that there will be days of blessing, that it'll work well for us. And so we pray that you will write these things upon the heart of each one of us, and we pray, O Lord, that you will enable us to honor our parents in the Lord. And so we pray that your blessing will be upon the children in their program today, that you will encourage their hearts, that you will make them to know the joy and peace of the Lord. We pray for all who gather with us, that the hand of God and the blessing of God will be upon each heart. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the victory of Calvary. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who opens our hearts and minds and makes spiritual things real unto our hearts. And I pray for that sweet ministry of the Holy Spirit today in this service and in our evening service, and that we will know your speaking voice to our hearts, and that we will hear the Lord ministering to us. O God, be near. Be gracious, be helpless, be our helper, and be glorified. Bless those who join us by webcast today. And we pray for those who join us from Prince George and also from Victoria. We're also mindful of Mrs. Letterhouse today, that you will be her strength and her peace. And for all who need the touch of God, O Lord, draw near, hear prayer and answer for us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, one more hymn before the children's program, and we're going to turn to 718, Jesus Bids Us Shine. 718. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. And again, we're going to stand to sing. This Children's Day, as we do each year, the boys and girls in our Sunday school have prepared a little program, which is usually a little recitation of some of the lessons that they have been learning through the year. And we're thankful for the work of Mrs. Roosman and Mrs. Hansen, and we pray that the Lord will use this word in each of their little hearts. And so we're going to ask the teachers now to take over the program and guide us through that.
All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully on.
Look carefully to Jesus, He'll carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He What is effectual calling?
Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds to the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, He does persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel.
Scripture proof?
To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.
What benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life?
They are effectually called to in this life partake of justification, adoption, and sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from them.
Scripture proof?
Having predestinated us unto adoption of children and to Jesus Christ to himself.
What is justification?
Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein convincing us of our sin, pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone.
Scripture
proof. For He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Adoption
is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have the right to all the privileges of the sons of God. Having behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the sons of God.
What is sanctification?
Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification?
The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy of the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
What benefits do believers receive from Christ at death?
The souls of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies still being united to Christ do rest in the grave till the resurrection.
Scripture proof?
Though after my skin once destroyed this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God.
What benefits do believers receive from Christ at the resurrection?
At the resurrection, believers being raised up in glory shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
What is the duty which God requires of man?
The duty which God requires of man is obedience to His revealed will.
Scripture proof?
Hear to thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
The Savior's seven sayings from the cross. 1. The word of forgiveness.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
2. The word of salvation.
Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
3. The word of affection.
Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother.
4. The word of anguish.
Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
5. The word of suffering.
I thirst.
6. The word of victory.
It is finished.
Well, thank you all, boys and girls, and I really like those seven words from the cross. That was very good. Those are hard to get into your head in the right order. Very, very good. Bible at Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And as I said earlier, I want to talk to the boys and girls today. This sermon is for them. And I hope that you will listen very, very carefully and that the Lord will do a great work in your heart as you hear this message from the Bible. Have you ever counted your blessings? You know that little chorus, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Some people find it very difficult to count their blessings. There was a little boy who was always complaining about his sore leg. And then one day he said to his mother, I'm never going to complain about my sore leg again, because that day he had met a boy who had no leg. And sometimes when people go into hospital, they think that they're very, very sick, and they complain, wondering why. And then when they're in hospital, they discover that there are many, many people who are in much a worse condition than they are, and they begin to give thanks that their case is not also that very bad. Thankfulness is a tremendous attitude when it is found in boys and girls. There is nothing so depressing when you are working with boys and girls, and everything you do for them and every benefit they have, they show no gratitude. They are greedy and grasping and always want to have everything their own way. They don't want to serve. They don't want to listen. They don't want to obey. All they want to do is make a little king or a queen out of themselves and have their own way all the time. The prodigal son was like that. You remember how when he was at home, he had all the good things in life with a very good father, but he didn't appreciate it. And it wasn't until years in that far-off country in hardship that he realized how blessed he was to be in his father's house. And so that is an example of just how heartbreaking ingratitude and lack of thanksgiving is. Now, childhood is a very valuable time of life, and you are given opportunities and you are given blessings in your early years. Early years are training years, like the little nursery tree that is planted in the garden or the field. Those early years shape the tree. And as that tree grows and it is watered and perhaps it is even tied in a certain direction, that it grows either straight or in the direction that the gardener wants it, those formative years are very important, because if it is not trained and it is not growing the right direction, it may have to be dug up and thrown away. And your lives are being molded right now as you go through the years of early childhood and teenage years as well. Sometimes when a tree is planted and it is planted in the wrong place, it has to be dug up again and replanted. And if it's in the wrong place again, it has to be dug up another time. And those trees are in danger of dying. And your life is in danger of being totally spoiled. And it'll be an awful thing if you were to spoil your whole life because of the wrong years in childhood. The other thing to note is that you will never get your childhood back again. While you may wish right now, well, I wish I was older. I wish I was able to drive a car or old enough to just make my own decisions in life. And I suppose every boy and girl wishes that one day they will get older really soon. Well, don't wish your life away, because that life that you are given right now, it's like a balloon. But if you let the air out of the balloon, you'll never get it back in again. And so these are very important years. And childhood days can either make you or break you. Your first 20 years of life will very much mold the type of person that you're going to be. Your work ethic, your discipline, your ability to cope, your disposition, whether you will be a worker or a shirker, or whether you will be kind and gentle, or whether you will be gruff, rude, and crude. All of those things have to be managed and disciplined in early life to make you the person that you ought to be when you grow older. And of course, it's like sowing seeds. The things that you do today, the habits you form today, will determine your future. But remember that there are also weeds, those bad habits that just get uglier and uglier as time goes on. And so today, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a gift that I wish someone had given me when I was a little boy. If someone had given me the things that I know now when I was a little boy, what a great gift it would be. And so I want to pass this on to you. And the gift is five things that the Lord Jesus wants every boy and girl to know. Five things every boy and girl ought to know, and the Lord wants you to know. Now, as I started out on these, I thought I might come up with 10. But my wife said to me, oh, thanks for just 5. And you will probably thank me as well for having just 5 things today. The first one is, the Lord wants you to know His love for boys and girls. Now, you have your Bible open at Mark 10, and I want to read with you verses 13 onward. We are told that they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And then note how the Lord not only spoke with words, but he proved it with his loving arms. He took them up into his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Due to the Lord's fame and the Lord's power, there were parents who wanted to come with their children and have them directly blessed by the Lord. And I'm sure if you were a young mother, you would want to bring your boy or girl or child to the Lord and have his blessing upon them. Now, when the disciples saw this, they called it a nuisance. And they sought to just usher away those people who wanted their children to be blessed by the Lord Jesus. And they thought, if this is just taking up time and it's just an inconvenience. And so they were driving these mothers away. But the Lord stopped. He rebuked his own disciples and said, no, suffer them, allow these children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. And he went on to explain that everybody that enters the kingdom of God needs a heart and a mind like a little child. Now that means a mind and heart that is teachable, that is open to the words and to the grace of the Lord Jesus. And that's why the Lord loves boys and girls, because they will listen and they will take in the truth, and the Lord can give them to understand. And here is the perspective of the Lord you need as a young person, and that is that the Lord Jesus loves children. And you can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Is that what you were singing today in Chinese? Jesus loves me, this I know. And if you come down to our prayer room, you'll see the words of it up on the whiteboard. It's been there for months. There were times when I wanted to write things up there, and I felt like wiping it all off, but I didn't know. I better not. I'll get myself in trouble if I do that. And so it's still there. But these are truths that the Lord Jesus wants you to know. Jesus loves me, this I know. And you can truly praise the Lord and thank him, because out of his wonderful heart, there flows and pours true, genuine love. Jesus will love little children. Now, do you know that? Do you rejoice in that? Is that what makes Christianity and the gospel wonderful and precious to you today? Now, the Lord, as I said, went on to illustrate those words by taking these children in his own arms. Just think of that. I want you to imagine that scene. I want you to think of the Savior as he was teaching and ministering to the people, and mothers brought their little children. He stopped everything. He took those little children out of the arms of their mothers. He held them in his arms. He pressed his hand upon their head and he blessed them. He took time with individual boys and girls. And the Lord Jesus does that. And by his grace and by his power, he does that today. And you are much more than just a healthy body. That's a wonderful thing about youth. Usually in youth, you have good health, good strength. You're growing, you're healthy, you're eating well, you're sleeping well, you are active, you are enjoying life, and your days are filled with fun. But you are not only a body, you are a soul. And your soul needs a Savior. And the Lord Jesus came into the world to give you eternal life and to pour his grace into your heart. And I want to assure you that the Lord Jesus will be the best friend that you will ever have. Now, when you're a child and you have a best friend, it's a wonderful thing. But friends will let you down. Friends are very limited in what they can do for you. They might play with you today and stick their tongue out at you tomorrow. They might run with you today and then count you out in a week's time. In this world, there are disappointments when it comes to people. But the Lord Jesus will never turn you away. He is a true and a genuine friend. And we can sing that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. But he will only be your friend if you open your heart and you have him to live in your heart. Because even as a boy and girl, you can drive the Lord away. You can close your heart to the Lord Jesus. I remember many years ago speaking at a children's meeting, and there was a little girl, and she was interested in the gospel, and then she closed her heart. And from that day forward, she never had a thought for Jesus. She never cared about Jesus. And it is a bad thing, it is a wrong thing, to close your heart to the Savior, even when you're very young. Because if you harden your heart, then the Lord, while he wants to be your friend, he cannot be your Savior. And you need to open your heart wide and invite the Savior to be your friend. So the first thing you need to learn today is that Jesus loves children and will live in your heart and be your friend for life and for eternity. Secondly, the Lord wants you to know his Father. He wants you to know his Father. Let me ask you, boys and girls, do you think it's a wonderful day when your father shows up at school? Maybe it's sports day or there's some special event on and your dad comes along to watch and to see you in your class or in your team, and there's your dad. And you might say to your friends at school, my dad's coming today. And you'll know him because this is what he looks like. And maybe you have a picture of him inside your one of your school books. And you're excited because your dad has taken time and an interest to come and watch you. And you tell everybody about your dad. Well, the Lord Jesus was always excited about his heavenly Father. And he came into the world to reveal the Father. He came into the world to explain and reveal who the Father is. Now, in John 14, verse 8 and 9, Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. In other words, he said, introduce us to your Father, and that will be enough. Just tell us about your Father. And Jesus is the express image of the Father. Now, that simply means he's like a picture. Every likeness of the Father is in the Son. Now, don't you like it whenever, especially boys, whenever someone tells you, you know what, you're just like your dad. You've got all the same look and actions and characteristics of your dad. And that pleases you. That's what you like to hear. I remember my aunt saying that to me once, and I was pretty chuffed. I was thankful that I made her think about my dad. And that's what the Lord Jesus came into the world to do, to reveal and to represent his Father in this world. Because in the Godhead, there is a Trinity, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, only the Lord Jesus has a body, and he has a human body. And he took that human body so that he could reveal to us in a very visible, clear way, the glory and the majesty of his heavenly Father. Now, each of the persons in the Trinity are God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And each one have the exact same characteristics. They all have equal power, equal glory, equal importance, equal majesty. And each had a part in creation. When God created the world, God the Father was there, God the Son was there, God the Holy Spirit was there when they created the world. When God created you as a boy or girl, it was the work of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to make you, to form you. Every life is a new creation. Now, each of the Trinity, person in the Trinity, have a part in our salvation. When God the Father planned the cross to save our souls, it is attributed to God the Father. When Jesus became man and died on the cross, that was the work of the Son. But who is it that introduces you to the plan of salvation? Who is it that opens your eyes and hearts to understand the plan? That's the work of God the Holy Spirit. And he gives you a new mind, a new heart, a new understanding. But Jesus' life in every way revealed the nature, the love, the character of the Father. Jesus was perfect in every way. He never sinned. Now, he was tempted. We know that. The devil came many times to try and tempt the Lord Jesus, to break him down, to win him over to evil. But our Lord Jesus withstood every temptation, and he lived a sinless life. He's holy because God is holy, and he is able to make us holy. The Lord Jesus also taught us to pray to the Father. You remember the Lord's prayer that he gave? Our Father. You want to know how to pray? You pray Our Father. And the Lord Jesus taught us to pray to his Father. He also taught us to ask for the Holy Spirit to be given unto us. And of course, Jesus is the way to the Father. Would you look up a verse for me in your Bible? Boys and girls, do you have your Bible? John 14, verse 6. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus. And you probably have learned this in Sunday school, but it's good for you to know it right there in the Bible. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way to the Father. And Jesus came into this world to represent his Father. And one day he's going to bring us back to the Father. And if you are a Christian, if you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, the Lord will present you to the Father, spotless, sinless, ready for heaven, and right there in glory. Now, without knowing the Father, you can't go to heaven. And so that's the work of the Son. Number three, the third thing that the Lord Jesus wants boys and girls to know is that we live in a broken world, a world that is broken. Now, when we are born, the world is born in our hearts. There is an attachment to the world in which we live. And in this world, God made at first everything perfect. It was heaven on earth in the Garden of Eden. And it was a world where everything worked with ease. It was easy to be godly. It was easy to pray. It was easy to sing. It was easy to love God. It was easy to hold to the truth. Everything was so easy and right and proper. But that's not the world you and I live in today. If you go into hospitals, did you ever walk around a cemetery? When we first moved to Cloverdale many years ago, our first home was in walking distance to a cemetery. And it's a sobering thing to take a walk around a cemetery. And you will see the headstones of people who spent their life in Cloverdale or Surrey, and now their bodies are laid in the ground, and it's a place of death. And it's on those headstones, maybe their names, the year they were born, the year they died, and their body is left in the grave, and there it is. But it reminds us that this is a broken world, a world where there is death, and of course there is suffering. Why are there hospitals? Why is there sickness and death? Why are there prisons? You don't have to go very far in this valley until you find some very large prisons where there are hundreds of men and some women who are behind bars, locked up all day, all night, with some freedoms, perhaps for an hour or so, but they are in a prison cell because there's murder in this world. People die by violent acts. There are thieves in this world, people who steal, who are filled with greed and filled with no care for their neighbors or their friends. And there are drunkards, drug addicts. If you go down to the street of Vancouver, the last statistic we have, there are over 2,000 people who sleep on the streets every night. Now, the reason that they are there, the big reason is it's a broken world. And even with all our modern technology and science, medicine, it's a broken world. We talked to our son yesterday, who's a doctor in Toronto, and we saw the tears rolling down his eyes because a man who was a medical doctor, and he worked with him for 10 years, died yesterday in an ICU unit. The man who had been Ewan's teacher, Ewan had cared for him right up to the point of death. And it's one of the great anomalies that even people who give all their lives to medicine succumb to the same diseases and the same sorrows that everyone else does. It's also true for preachers and ministers. Ministers and pastors are subject to death and disease and sorrow. Death is called the king of terrors, and it will catch up with us all. And children, you need to know that boys and girls die too. There are many spirits or souls of boys and girls that are already in heaven. If you walk around a cemetery, you will see sometimes headstones of, sometimes little headstones, and they will have the age of birth and death, and it might be 1 year old, 2, 3, 4, 5. You see, death comes at any stage in life, and we live in a broken world. Do not think that this world is going to be easy. This world is filled with sorrows and troubles, and that's why you need a Savior. That's why you need the Lord Jesus to be your friend. Some people grow up with the idea that this world can satisfy every longing they have. As long as they are successful, as long as they have health and money and all of that, that they are going to just make a wonderful life for themselves. Well, the suicide rate, the depression rate, is horrendous in our countries, because this is a broken world. And after church is over, and maybe you're having lunch at home today, I want you to ask your mom and dad, what does the pastor mean when he says this is a broken world? You need to have that conversation with your mom and dad, because you need to understand why there is sorrow and sickness and death. And this leads us to the reason Jesus came into the world to be our Savior. But you must trust Him. The answer to the brokenness of this world is to have a perfect Savior. And Jesus is a wonderful Savior to those who understand the brokenness of the world. And when you realize that your life is broken, then you can be saved. Then the Lord Jesus will be your Savior. And remember something else, that everyone that ends up in jail, anyone that ends up in drugs or a drunkard with alcohol, they started out as a little boy and girl just like you. Innocent, thinking that all is just going to be a wonderful world. And somewhere they didn't realize this world is broken. And if you break God's laws, if you do things that are bad and wrong, it will damage you. It will destroy you. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and it will kill you. And so you are in urgent need of a Savior to be saved. Number four, the Lord wants you to know that God puts His children in families. And this really is an extension of this reason of we live in a broken world. In this broken world, God has wisely ordained that children be born into families, into homes with a mom and a dad. And if that is your home, you should wholeheartedly thank God for the blessing of having a wholesome home. Did you know that there are babies that are born into this world that are not wanted? Some of them are given away, and some of them are sold. Some are killed in the womb before they even come into this world. and to be born into a home with a mother and father is a wonderful thing. Some children are living in institutions that are called orphanages, where because parents are either unable to care for them or they just abandon those children, then the state has to take care of them. And they're put into big buildings that are a bit like prisons, and they are cared for in their dozens and hundreds. And in those institutions, a boy or a girl is really just a number. There's very little love, very little care, and they just get some of the basic necessities of life, and they grow up in a group home or a large institution, and they do not know the love, the joy of family life. And in some countries around the world, children are sold into slavery. And just even at your age, they would have to work from morning to night. They are given the basics of life, and they are used and abused sometimes in horrible ways. And they end up broken as well. There's a Chinese proverb that says, in a broken nest, there are few whole eggs. And when children are born into orphanages and sometimes in horrible conditions, they end up growing into horrible mindsets. And their youth really sets them up to make all the wrong decisions in life. And because of that, they end up broken as well. And if you know your mom and dad, and you know that they love you, and you know that they care for you, God has put you into a family. In Jeremiah 31, it says, at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. You see, it is God who ordained marriages, one man, one woman. And into that home where there is the loving relationship between a mom and a dad, the Lord gives babies. And one time you were a little baby and you were brought home as a little infant. And what a happy day that was for your mom and dad to have you in their home. And they have raised you and cared for you, provided all the needs of life, but not just things. They have not only given you food and clothing, but they have given you love. And they have avoided the things that will ruin you. Because when God gives children, parents are not allowed to spoil them. There are things that if you give to a boy or a girl, it will ruin them. It will spoil their whole attitude of life. And at the judgment day, God will call your mom and dad to account on how they have cared for you, how they have trained you, how they have taught you, and how they have enabled you to live a godly, God-honoring life. Someone said that the family is the school of duties founded on love. And if that's the kind of home and family that you have, be assured that this is God's great gift to you. And it will stand to you all the days of your life. As long as you live, and no matter how successful you be in this world, even you become a political leader or famous for whatever, no matter what you accomplish in this world, the most precious thing that you will have to fall back on is your family. And therefore, remember that commandment we read, to honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Now, I have to ask you, are you doing that? Are you keeping that fifth commandment? You see, God gives children into homes and they can be a great blessing. But there are also children that grow up to wreck their parents' hearts. And they become a reason of great distress. like the prodigal son. You know that story. Can you think of the day that the prodigal son announced that he was leaving home? He said, "Give to me the money and the riches that are my portion. I'm leaving." And when he got his few things together and set out, can you imagine the heartache that brought to his father and his mother? You see, you can either be a great blessing or you can be a curse to your parents. I'm being very honest with you here, because I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you something that is the truth of God's word. Because if you live for a broken world, and note how these things tie in, if you abandon what God has given and choose the way of a broken world, you will break others' hearts and you will end up with a broken heart too, and maybe even a lost soul in destruction. And so you need to rejoice that God has put you into families. Now, the last thing that the Lord Jesus wants you to know, this is number 5, and it is God wants you to know that little children can go to heaven. And this really is good news. Isn't it interesting that the Lord calls all his people children? The whole nation of Israel were called the children of Israel. And in the sight of God, he wants all to be his children, and for us all to call God Abba, Father. Now that is a title of endearment. It is to approach God in prayer with all your heart, showing your love and your trust in God. And we can when we have Jesus as our Savior. That's the only way you can call God, the God of heaven, your Father, when you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now, this account in Mark 10 teaches us that children will be in heaven. Of such is the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And right now, there are souls of boys and girls in heaven. They were taken home in tender youth, and their bodies, as I mentioned, are in a grave somewhere. And the markers there, the year of their birth, the year of their death. And sometimes people put a mark of hope on that and say, until the resurrection day. And that little body of that little infant or child or young person will be raised up on the resurrection day when Jesus returns. And that spirit and body will be united together, and it will be a perfect person, maybe died in infancy, but they will have a perfect, wonderful body by which to worship and to serve God. Now, you need to realize that you can be in heaven too. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And I wonder, will you be in heaven? That depends on their age and accountability. Now, the Bible teaches us that when children die before a certain understanding, that they will not answer at the judgment day. They are not accountable. But if you can understand that God sent his Son to be your Savior, then you're accountable. If you can understand that Jesus died on the cross to wash away sin, if you can understand that in your own way, you are accountable. You will answer at the judgment day what you have done with the Lord Jesus. Now, there's a great incident in the life of Job. When Job was tried of God, he lost his family. And you know how many sons he had? 7. And 3 daughters. And at the end of Job's life story, God doubled everything. When he had 3,000 camels to start with, he ended up with 6,000. When he had 7,000 sheep, he ended up with 14,000. When he had 500 yoke of oxen, He ended up at the end of life with 1,000. But do you know how many sons and daughters he got at the end of life? 7 and 3 girls. 7 boys and 3 girls. The same number as he had before. Why? Because he didn't totally lose the first children. Although they were dead, they were still alive. You see, a soul never dies. A soul lives forever and ever, either in this world or in the world to come. And you remember that Job prayed for his children, and he offered up a sacrifice for his children. And so there's reason to believe that those children knew the way of salvation by the blood of Jesus. And therefore, we can have hope that they're in heaven. Now, what about you? The only way that a boy and girl who knows Jesus died on the cross, if you know that, the only way that you can be in heaven is if you have asked him to wash away your sins, and he will then bring you into heaven. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus invites you to trust in him to be your Savior? And he does invite you. If I drive you away like those disciples, if I were to do what James, John, Matthew, and all the other disciples did on that day, saying to those young mothers, hey, don't bother the Lord now, just go away. If I was to do that to you, then I would be a very bad minister. I would be a very, very bad pastor. No, the Lord wants me to invite you to come to him, because he truly does want to bless you. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to live in your heart. And you are called to put your trust in him. And of course, the whole purpose of Sunday school, the reason why your mom and dad bring you at 9:30 in the morning, and the reason why Mrs. Rusma and Mrs. Hansen are always here at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, and the reason why you spend those long or short minutes in their classroom, is to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And all those catechisms and all those verses and all those songs are to help you to know and to receive the Lord as your Savior. And I trust that will be true in your life. And so these are 5 things the Lord Jesus wants you to know. Shall we stand to sing, please?